Our gracious Heavenly Father, blessed be your holy name, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the words of life that we are all holding into our hands. But Lord, you have taught us it is not sufficient to know the scripture, to hold on to the scripture. But Lord, you called all of us to live the scripture, to keep the scripture in our heart, to understand your words of wisdom. Depart not from thy wisdom, depart not from thy understanding, that is us departing not from the tabernacle. And Lord, we pray, may you bless us, O Lord, today the same way you blessed Job. The hair that was in his flesh stood up when the Spirit blessed him to experience the holiness of the Lord's presence. For the Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. And Lord, you blessed all of us to embrace thy glory. And your Lord, you showed mercy to all of us. The Spirit, only when the Spirit enters into our life, we can stand up. We can be, O Lord, upright in thy sight. Father in heaven, we pray, may you bless us, O Lord, as we continue the sermon last Sunday. May you come in the midst of us and teach us. And I pray for thy mighty hand to put all the flesh to the deeper state of sleep. Let there be no noise, let there be no disquietness, let there be no confusion, let there be no unfaithfulness, let there be no unbelief. But Lord, may you bless all of us to stay conscious, the state of the mind of Jesus Christ, to receive the spiritual things in spirit, for the things of natural cannot receive the things of spiritual. Father in heaven, I pray, O Lord, that you come and walk in the midst of us, touch us, bless us, and keep us, O Lord, in the wisdom, for there is no other safety other than the wisdom of God. May you show mercy upon all of us today that we receive you, the true wisdom, which is you, O Lord, to have God as the King of my heart. We pray for thy blessing to be with all of us today. In Jesus Christ's name, O Lord, I surrender the time of grace. I surrender the fellowship in truth. O Lord, I surrender us as a family of God in the agape of God. May you be the one who teach us, guide us, heal us, unite us, mold us, perfect us, O Lord, that we are ready for redemption. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you all. Shalom, my dear brethren. Greetings to you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We begin today's message from Job chapter 4, where he talks about the troubles of visions, the troubles of his thoughts, his desire of interpretation, his unquenchable hunger and thirst for finding an answer, put him into a state of deep sleep. But when a spirit passed by, the same way our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was called the Son of David in the New Testament, when he was passing by, whoever was sick, whoever was able to understand that the Savior is passing by, the Master is passing by, the Creator is walking beside them, the moment they understood the healing is there, they shouted and cried to him, Son of David, touch me. Son of David, heal me. Not everyone had the discernment that their master is passing by. Not everyone had the wisdom revelation that the Creator is here. So those who had that personal intimate relationship, they had this steadfastness, perseverance, consistency, and belief that they will be sitting on the floor, crawling on the floor, whatever the flesh that was suppressing them, but they knew in spirit that the groom will walk, will come near to them. So when they saw him, as Job said, the hair of my flesh stood up. In today's world, we call it as goosebump. Oh, I saw some magical moment. I felt, you know, some shock in me. As if you could see your hair on your hand. Indeed, you can see it becomes like a plant, like a sunflower looking for the sunlight. It stands up. The Lord has put a lot of types and shadows in our body, because in spirit, hair represents glory. Amen? We are the bride of Christ. The glory covers us, which tells us the mind of Christ can only be contained by the glory of the Father in heaven. If I lose glory, the mind of Christ will escape. Imagine it's a bird. It needs a cage. If the cage is open, the bird will fly, because the bird is a bird of liberty. The Holy Spirit, the wisdom of God, the liberty of Christ, it can only be contained by the glory of the Father in heaven. That is why when God warns his children, if my glory leaves the tabernacle, you are nothing but a tomb. Because tomb keeps dead body, but tabernacle keeps lively stones. Amen. So Job is typing by speaking, when a deep sleep fell upon me because the Lord was going to do something great in his life. So he wanted his unfaithfulness, his complaints over the Creator, all his murmurings about the Creator, the Lord allowed Job, just go to sleep, man. You are making so much noise. Moses was also making so much noise. And the Lord put a deep sleep, then a spirit passed by. You have experienced what I'm speaking in your life several times, but in a different way. We were so much active, so much strong, so much happy. And the Lord saw that you were running everywhere. Then he broke your leg. He plucked out your wings. Then you were constrained in a state of deep sleep. Your flesh could not move. All your confidences, your strength, all taken one by one. Then the spirit passed by. Then you understand who you are. So, verse 15, Job 4, verse 15 says, then a spirit passed before my face, and the hair of my flesh stood up. Verse 16, it stood still, which means that movement stopped. The same way Jesus Christ stopped and looked on those who are looking for his healing. We sing a song, pass me not, O my Savior, pass me not. It stood still. When it stood still, I could not discern the form thereof, because God is spirit. He could not discern the form thereof. So what is the discernment Job was desperately looking for? What is the spirit? Because he says a spirit. There is no a spirit. Imagine all of us are in the boat. The same way the disciples were striving against the contrary winds. But the Lord went to pray on the mountain, but he sent them first. When the Lord sent the disciples on a boat first, they should know that they are going to be tested, because he was not in the boat, isn't it? He sent them on a boat first to see if they have him in their hearts. But no, according to them, my Lord was left alone in the mountain. I am also left alone now. They did not believe that the Savior was inside of them, living inside their hearts, living in their mind. He is part of their life, soul, body, spirit, everything, because we are a part of the Word. They did not have such belief. They thought we should save ourselves. They were actually striving, working very hard to stand their position against the contrary winds. But when the Lord saw them, he knows that they are not going to make it. He knows they are not going to make it. So he decided to walk on the sea, isn't it? When he was walking on the sea, what the disciples thought, what is the spirit? They were afraid of a spirit. A man is different than the Son of Man. A spirit is different than the Spirit. Because the word the, it means there is only one, the anointed, the only true living God. So, Job's life is very much linked to the ministry of Daniel. If you look deeply, the entire kingdom of Judah was thrown into Babylon. All their glory, all their beautiful skin became wrinkles and boils. But yet, Daniel had to keep his mind intact, because God was working in his mind. He was interpreting. He has to keep his mind intact. His state of consciousness belongs to God. Amen? Not just the work of your hands. The most important sacrifice that we all should embrace in our life is the state of my mind, my consciousness, does it belong to God? Does it glorify God? The state of consciousness. Now, Job says, I can't discern it, man. I can't discern it. Because in the first place, he thought a spirit. Because the next verse says, it talks about God's righteousness. There was a message to that vessel in terms of vision or dream to pass a message in the divine manner. But what are the key points that we should take before we move on? That there was a deep sleep upon the vessel, and that when the spirit passed by, there was change in him, and he did not mean to do it. The hair of his flesh stood up. Do you really understand the reason why you love God? It's not because you understood who God is. It's because you are revealed to yourself who are you. Am I right? Because you are not going to change God. But you have to change yourself to understand who he is. We are the fallen ones. He is not the fallen one. The day I understand who I am, I'm a creation. There is one who created me. He loves me. I belong to him. You understood who you are before you understood who he is. Because self-realization is one step closer to salvation. Now, discernment of Job and discernment of Daniel. So how we have to travel from here? Let's turn our scriptures, the same book of Job. Let's continue a few more verses. Chapter 12, verse 22. Job 12, verse 22. Before we go to Daniel, we read a few more verses. 12 verse 22. He discovereth deep things out of darkness and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. He can discover whatever is deeply buried, had hidden a secret. The Lord can search and dig it up, stir it up and make it to be known. And not just that, he can bringeth out to the light of shadow of death. And he increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again. He allows kingdoms to be built. Then he bring them down low to the ground. And they become the plain again. He maketh, he destroyeth. He giveth, he taketh. He built and he also completely destructed. And he says, he enlargeth the nations. He increaseth the nation, then he bring them all back to square zero. And he can bring light to the shadow of death. Imagine when the Lord descended into Sheol, do you think it was completely dark when he descended? The Lord says, I am the light, the only light that was sent for the salvation of all. And he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. The light shines in darkness because darkness is consumed. Now, let's go to chapter 14, verse 12. Chapter 14, verse 12. So man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Is he cursing? Is he angry? No, he's telling the reality that if the Lord chose not to show mercy, when you sleep once for all. You may not get up. Not everyone who died, not every one of them are going to live forever in the eternal kingdom. Not possible. But as we meditated last Sunday, everyone will be judged, will awaken from the sleep, some to eternal promise to live forever and ever. Some to eternal shame and contempt to be destroyed once for all. So we were focusing on which type of awakening happening to me. Because there are two awakening. One, I am awakening to my old man. And one, I am awakened. I stay alive in the Son of Man, the new covenant of my life. Now, Job says, they may not rise out of the sleep. They can sleep once for all. Now let's go a bit deeper why Job said this. Let's turn our scriptures to book of we turn our scriptures to Jeremiah chapter 51 verse 39. Let's read what type of sleep that Job is referring to. Jeremiah 51 verse 39. Let us look at the way how the Lord works in our lives. Chapter 51 verse 39. Yes. Now, here it says, therefore, yes, in their heat, I will make their feast. I will make them drunken that they may rejoice. He says, I will let them increase. I will let them enlarge. Then, and sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake, saith the Lord. So what Job says, they may sleep, they rise not. And here the Lord says, through the prophet Jeremiah, I will let people to grow in their stature, to build their kingdoms, to rejoice in their merry and drink and wine. Then I will let them taste perpetual sleep. Now remember this word perpetual. We know the word perpetual means something that is going to long last. Perpetual sleep. Not all the deep sleep are perpetual sleep. There is also a sleep called sleep of death, dead sleep. Now, perpetual sleep is what Jeremiah says, the Lord says. What, how it works is the next verse, verse 57. And I will make drunk her princes, that is going to second generation, isn't it? Kings and princes. And her wise men, council, and her captains, the leaders of their army, and her rulers, the kings, generals, and her mighty men of valor, soldiers, strong men. And they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake, saith the King, whose name is the Lord of hosts. The Lord says, if I chose not to wake you up, you will sleep forever. That is all the way pointing to second death and final destruction. Now let's keep this and come to David. Psalm 13 verse 3. Psalm 13 verse 3. I want us to read these verses before we go to the main sermon today. The word of the Lord is the foundation of the message. Amen. Chapter 13 verse 3. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. So David says, Lord, enlighten me in spirit, that my spiritual eyes are not closed to your will, are not closed to your wisdom, lest I sleep the sleep of death. It's not physically being lazy or tired. It is actually the other way around, physically being very happy, very active, very strong, that you wander and go astray. David says, Lord, ground me, keep me grounded, that I will never ever grow beyond the measure, isn't it? Do not think of yourself highly more than who you are, which is very similar to adding one more word to what the scripture is all about, because you are the part of the word. The moment I think of myself highly, I became word times multiple words. I am adding something new. And the Lord says, abomination. And David says, Lord, lighten my eyes that I grow in the stature of Christ, anointed. The beloved must grow as the anointed. Now, let's see what David continues by saying. Chapter 76, verse 6. Psalm 76, verse 6. There are a lot of verses which I will send it to you, maybe separately. Chapter 76, verse 6. We will read few verses today. Let's read from verse 5. Chapter 76, verse 5. The stout-hearted of spoil, they have slept their sleep, and none of the men of might have found their hands. Whoever thought they were strong, they when they woke up from their sleep, they can't find their hands. Hands are cut off. Spiritually, if the Lord does not establish the work of your hands spiritually, when I wake up, all my works will be nothing, will not be there. Like a vapor disappeared. Because they chose someone instead of God. And how he brings it, that's the next verse. Look at the next verse. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, because God of Jacob means God of Jacob is my help. If God is not my help, it's a rebuke for me. Indirectly. The Lord rebuked me if he chose not to help me. He is my helper. The only helper. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse are cast into a dead sleep. So again the word dead sleep comes here. So from perpetual, now we are in dead sleep. Last Sunday it was in deep. So we are still unfolding this. But in order for us to go into dead sleep, there must be a rebuke which is called, God is not my help. I became my own help. Or something became my own help. And David says, Lord, it is better for me to fall into your hands and be destroyed rather than falling into the hands of men and to live forever. And David says, I choose destruction as long as my father hands upon me. That is what attitude of Esther. If I have to perish for the benefit of my people, I will perish. Standing with the seeds of God. That is the beauty of the seed of God. Amen. Now we have got beautiful verses from David, Job. What about the father of all nations? Was he scared when the Lord put him into a deep sleep? Because Job said, I was very scared. When I was put into deep sleep, I could not discern the form, my hair stood up. That shows he was in complete fear. He was scared. Abraham, was he any better? Because he was Abraham before. Genesis chapter 15. Let's turn our Bible to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Verse 70, verse 7. Now the Lord is speaking to Abraham and he says, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. You can see the Lord speaks always the same manner. He said the same thing to people of Israel, I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And to Abraham, he says, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur the Chaldees. What does it mean? The Lord says, never forget from where you came. Because you did not come by yourself. Someone dragged you. The master carried you on his shoulder. And God says, Abraham, from Ur of Chaldees you came. Don't forget. That's a reminder. Because God does not have to remind himself. He can't forget. The only thing he forgets is whatever that makes him to be angry over his children, he tries to forget it. That is iniquities, sins, our disobedience. I choose to forget. He's not forgetting. The agape stands tall and hides his vision from all things that is against him. But the moment we do anything against the agape, when we betray him, the agape shield is gone. When it's gone, he sees everything. Oh, you are that guy. So God says, Abraham, you are from Ur of Chaldees. And he tells people of Israel, you were in Egypt, in prison, crying, shouting, moaning, groaning for food and supply. I delivered you. He says. Then he says, and he said, Lord God, where shall I know what I shall inherit it? If he was Abraham, remember this, he won't ask the question. But he was Abraham. His life not changed yet. Which is the type of his name not changed yet. Abraham, Abraham, there is a big difference. Ha! It is Yahweh. Yeah, the Lord put his name in his life. But before that, Abraham was no different than Moses. I'm not good in speaking. You send someone else. That is Moses before. If the Lord says Moses now, then Moses says, Lord, even if I can't speak, if I'm mute, you will give me the healing to speak, then I'll become mute again, no problem. That is Moses after. But that is Moses before. And now Abraham says, give me some proof. Like Hezekiah, give me some proof. Give me some sign. And Lord says, verse 9, and he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old. Why 3 years old? Why 3 years old? Why can't it be 2 years? Why can't it be 4 years? Why every time it has to be 3 years old? From Genesis to Revelation, this 3 years pattern, it was something absolutely constant, untouched. Times could not change it. Atonement could not change it. Even the power of resurrection could not change it. It is 3 years. It always 3 years. Why? If you look at the world today, a very weird example of vanity. After the children finish their schooling, they have to study at least 3 years to qualify for a degree. 2 years, not accepted. At least 3 years for any qualified bachelor degree. For what? So you have to be there for 3 years to become something different. To soak in for 3 years to show your consistency. Now there is a different way the scripture looks at it. The world looks at everything in the eyes of vanity. Even Jesus Christ tells that his ministry was a 3 years old ministry, isn't it? He was 30 when he began. But the ministry of Jesus, that child, was a 3 year old child, then sacrificed. Am I right? He began when he was 30. There were 3 Passover, 3 festivals that showed that he was there for 3 years. Then the 3 year child, the ministry, the root, the chief cornerstone, was killed when the Lord was killed. So taken Haifa for 3 years. That is why Isaiah was walking naked for 3 years. Everything types to what is going to come. And the prophets say, what if we show the power that we have? And that's why God told Isaiah, be naked. And it's not a physical nakedness you think of. The Lord would not put his servant to shame for no reason. What is the point of having Isaiah walking fully naked on the road for 3 years? How does it glorify God? No, there is a deeper reflection to what God said to Isaiah, because Isaiah knows what God really means. Don't use what the gift of power I gave you. Be simple, be naked, do nothing. As a type of it, you remove your outer garment, let people think that you are a madman. So, it's not fully naked. Maybe how the Lord was carrying his cross. Very similar to that. Only with his inner garments maybe. Whatever the state of Christ was typed before. In order for Isaiah to do that for 3 years, long-suffering, perseverance, steadfastness, consistency, faith, joy, contentment, everything should work together in order for Isaiah to complete a 3 year instruction, right? One day, 2 days, easy for us. 40 days, no problem. 3 years, let me think about it. Why? The seed of God will manifest over time, not instantly. Anything that is an instant can be removed instantly. If the Lord gives you a choice, I will give you a growth, a 3 years growth. But if you fall, you will fall 3 years. I will give you a growth, 1 day growth, 1,000 times stronger, higher, mightier than a 3 years growth. But you will also fall in a single day. Which one you will choose? Vapor growth, vapor fall, or mountain growth, mountain fall. If Adam climbs the mountain two days, he will also do the, you know, descending also 2 days. What goes around comes around. In the same way you came, the same way you shall return. People think climbing up is difficult. My brethren, going down is difficult. One misstep, you'll roll down to the ground. Am I right? At least going up, you will be tired. Rest for a while, then you'll start climbing. But when you go down, when you slip, you will fall to the ground and die. Tough to go up, easy to come down. Now, heifer, 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, also 3 years, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece and one against another, but the birds divided he not. If you remember book of Leviticus, this holds of high significance. They had two birds. One was killed, one was released. Am I right? One was called living bird, one was slain for another bird to live. The prince of life was slain for you and me to live. Cannot be separated. For nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now look at the next verse. Then the fowls came down upon the carcasses. Abraham drove them away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Brother, there is nothing special in that. Just don't give some hype. Look deeply. Abraham drove them away. Abraham was chasing all that came against his sacrifice. He was preserving God's instruction in his life before he became Abraham. You want to do something good for God? Preserve what the Lord gave you. The truth, the testimonies, the grace, the mercy, the blessings. Abraham was preserving the God's instruction. He was holding into it, which means he was not sleeping. No matter how weary he was, he had to be watchful of what the Lord gave him. He drove them away. There was one who did the same thing. His name was Moses. He was watching over the sheep of the father-in-law, Jethro. When something came against the sheep, he drove them away. He preserved the beast. Moses, good job, man. Then again, Moses was running away from Egypt, was sitting somewhere very thirsty, weary. Then he saw the daughters of Jethro came to water the flock. And the shepherds came to disturb them. And Moses stood up, drove them away. So Moses drove men away. Moses also drove the wild beast away. Correct? Both beast and men, Moses drive them away. And the Lord said, let's go. You are hired. Abraham drove them away. What if the sacrifices of Abraham was taken by the beast and God comes and says, Abraham, what happened to my instruction? Oh Lord, everything is good, just the hyper. The flesh was super tasty, the wolves took it, you know. I was sleeping so that I can have a very good conversation with you. I was preserving my mind, had a good sleep. When I woke up, surprise, the birds escaped, but everything else caught. And the Lord says, discussion ended, goodbye. He goes somewhere. Because of the verse that I ended, drove them away. Look at the next verse. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, and horror of great darkness fell upon him. What? The word horror means horror movie to all. Horror of great darkness. Now, please tell me, if you read this plainly, it is evil, isn't it? Horror, tragic, gory, whatever, great, the great Babylon, whatever, darkness, oh, against God, whatever. But actually, Abraham is going through a divine, holy experience, which was called as horror of great darkness. Is it possible? When you close your eyes, do you see stars come and blinking in your eyes? When you close your eyes, you see great darkness. Am I right? I close my eyes, I see great darkness, I can't see anything. Great darkness, because the Lord gave me these eyelids to close my eyes against something that I'm not supposed to be experienced to. And Abraham's eyes were closed. Correct? If it is something evil, look at the next verse. And he said unto Abraham, who? Hello? I thought God is light. And he said unto Abraham, who is speaking? Know of a surety that I see shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. The Lord is being absolutely transparent to Abraham. You know what? You are going to be father of all nations. That's not the problem. But your seeds will be struggling, suffering for 400 years. Are you okay with it? Abraham, is there anything ahead from you? Was God deceiving Abraham? Was God cheating Abraham? He tells everything even before he gave the promise. Because the promise comes in Genesis 18, that is Isaac. But we are in Genesis 15. His name not even changed as Abraham yet. And the Lord is speaking of this truth to him. Why? The life of God's child is manifested in the work of God's child. And God saw Abraham's work. He knows he's ready. He's speaking even before he changes name. And he says, "And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance." Hello, Moses. You are already pre-booked by God. Correct? Even before Moses was born, he was in his mind. 400 years. And the Lord says, Egypt I will judge. But the word Egypt is not even introduced in the scripture yet. Verse 15. "And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age." In different translation, it says, "Abraham, you will sleep with your fathers in peace." That is the accurate translation of this scripture. Because child of God cannot die. You just go to sleep. You wake up again. Because the death that Job said is different. They rise not. They wake up not. So Abraham was put into a deep sleep, but horror of great darkness. Now, if we are in flesh, the moment we see this, we say, this must be from book of Revelation. Because word darkness is here, horror is here. You know, the Lord also called himself, he is a God of terror. Have you seen the scripture? You see, this word is not something evil. It means divine fear. That is holy. Is it possible? It is possible. Your flesh will be scared to death when you see the Spirit in absolute holiness, because you are in sin. But when we see him on the other side, that sinful nature cannot enter. Amen? You are a seed of God. You will be communing with him as one. That's why he says, "I am all in all." Now, let us go to Daniel 8. Now, let's go and find the great, great, great grandson of Abraham. Daniel. Chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. Verse 15. "And it came to pass, when I, even I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, three stood before me as the appearance of a man." Three stood before me as the appearance of a man. Before Abraham, how many stood under the tree? Three. The Lord and the two angels. Amen. Now Daniel says, there is a vision going on, and he says in verse 16, "And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uli, which is called, and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision." Now Michael says, "Why not me? Then why did he call me for the meeting?" The one who was standing upon the river tells Gabriel, "Make this man to understand the vision." Then why can't he himself understand, make him understand? What is this make him understand? What is the role of Gabriel? Passing the message, a messenger. Amen? Passing the message as it is. Not just passing the message. The beauty of Gabriel is passing the message as it is, according to the vision. Now when it is done, Daniel will understand. That's what the Lord says. But look at the next verse. In order for that to happen, something needs to be in place. That is verse 17. "So he came near where I stood." So Gabriel came near. The angel came near to the flesh because God commanded so. The purpose is to make him understand. Now you understand, when God tells Moses, "I am on the top of the mountain. Don't let any people come near to me. You go there." Did he say that? Did he say that? Because God says, "My holy presence cannot be in the midst of unholy counsel. So I trust in you, you go. You man of sin, you go. But I will guide you." So Moses was sent to be in the midst of people, and he killed 3,000. He came up, God was not satisfied. He killed some more. Very revengeful, or spiritually telling all of us that we have so many things to be washed, cleansed. Now here, Daniel is going to understand something. God sends Gabriel. Which means the importance of the matter is extreme high. Because God was not sending any other man to pass the message. He sent his archangel Gabriel himself directly. That is why Daniel was interpreting the precise prophetical visions of the past and as well as the present. Especially Daniel 11. The book of Daniel ends in 12, but chapter 11 is the most debated chapter in the whole scripture. Daniel 11. But look at the next verse. When he came, I was afraid. Why are you afraid, Daniel? I was afraid. Abraham, great horror of darkness fell upon me. The day I greatly feared came upon me, Job says. Do you know the Lord has another name, the day of salvation, my day? When the Lord visits me, the fear will come upon you. The Lord is visiting me. Now look at the verse. It continues by saying, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Because the vision will go on for many days. Verse 18 is beautiful. The discussion is going to begin. Am I right? Because Gabriel is going to say something. And you look at Daniel standing. Yeah, tell me. Not good. Verse 18. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. He touched me and set me upright. Job chapter 4 verse 15. I was in a deep sleep. A spirit passed by, which was holding the presence of God in that. And my hair of the flesh stood up. And the Lord spoke to me. But before all of that, there was a state of deep sleep. Am I right? It was not called death of sleep or sleep of death or dead sleep. Now, let's continue the next verse. Now, he says, he touched me and set me upright. Amen. So now remember the word. The deep sleep has always ended with a touch. A touch. A touch that changed me. I am not the same anymore. But before that, he actually put me on a grounded state. Now let's continue, because it happened to Daniel not once. Chapter 10 verse 6. Chapter 10 verse 6. Daniel chapter 10. I will read from verse 7. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. So there was another fear. This is not the fear of holiness. They were running for their lives. Verse 8. Therefore I was left alone. He was also in fear, but not the fear of running away, but the fear of standing and facing. And saw this great vision, and remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned me into corruption, and I retained no strength. All is good. So far all is good. Look at verse 9. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground again. So it happened to Daniel several times. We only read few times of experiences. Whenever something happened that is of great importance, that vessel of God was allowed to go into a deep sleep to escape from many things. So we are going to approach this perspective scripturally from different angles to see what is there for us to learn as a bride of Christ. Amen. You see, after Daniel was put into deep, they look at the next verse. The next verse says, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands, like a child. A child pose. A child will have two hands on the ground, two knees also on the ground, because they don't know how to learn. Like a child. Now, let us read verse 26-27 from chapter 8. Now we read chapter 8, verse 26-27. I want to go back, because I want to show you a word of encouragement for all of us to understand that sickness doesn't mean an attack of enemy. Do not be confounded. Whatever that may hurts you or do something to you, don't take everything as if you are fighting the devil. You are a child of God. Remember who you are. You serve the king. The king is not weak. God is not someone who hide from adversity. Everything hide from him. Daniel chapter 8 verse 26. It says, and the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. He was exposed to something true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be many days. Many days, it's a representation of consistency. Steadfast, wait patiently without losing hope. Look at the next verse. Now the flesh of Daniel is exposed to something heavenly, right? But the flesh cannot take it. I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business. And I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Now please tell me, which God will give you sickness? Can God give you sickness? It was not his intention. But you have to pay the price. You have to pay the price of preserving your spirit. The flesh will strive against you. But the Lord did not give a miraculous healing to Daniel. He said, endure it, man. Endure it. If God performs magic in all our lives, the walk of the child of God is so easy, the whole world will be fellowshipping the same way we do now. Everywhere, nobody will run around if God was performing so miracle to them. God is not making people happy, but God is looking unto divine joy that comes at a price, because he is the joy. If you need him, you go through what he did. Now, having said that, don't also be so confounded thinking of yourself highly, I'm a martyr of Christ. That's a different level. A different level that none of us should always think, I'm a martyr of Christ. Look at the lives of apostles and look at us. Where do we stand? That will give you contentment. Lord, who am I? Enough. Lucifer, who fell from heaven, is not wasting time to go and scratch you, fight with you, play with you, as if we are saving millions of souls. His intention is to take every sheep away from the flock and go to the death, the final destruction. He has a task, which is, if I go down, I go down with all. Not Lucifer, Satan. The name changed. The influences covering the cherub, who was an anointed cherub of covering before. We have to understand our focus is not to fight the devil. Our focus is to serve God Almighty. Praise him, worship him, rejoice in him, serve him, read scripture, pray, sing, dance, do this. That is the work of the narrow path. When you do this, your one hand is keep on building the wall. Amen. Because of that, your other hand will automatically have the weapon. And that hand is not yours. It's the left hand of God Almighty who defends his children. A child of God don't defend itself. Why? You are not greater than the defender. Mighty defender is he. You rest. Mighty defender is me. I fight. You fall miserably. We have to learn. Daniel never fought. Moses never fought. Joshua never fought. David never fought for themselves. They fought for the kingdom of God. They were working on what is fruitful, purposeful, meaningful in sight of God. That is, being put to deep sleep to all the noises, but staying in consciousness to the voice of God. Do you hear me? Imagine all of us are going for a vacation, and some of us, we want to commit something against God, build the idol worship. But because of the journey, some of us are very tired and we fell to sleep along the way. And those who are strong and they think, lazy people. You sleeping? Lukewarm, frozen fellowship? You sleep here. We go and build our own golden calf. Then God comes. Those who slept will survive. Those who are awake will be judged to death. Am I right? But the Bible says don't sleep. But the Lord says sleep. Sleep to unholy things. Have a deep sleep to unfruitful noises. Ignore. Absolutely ignore. That is you having the deep sleep what Abraham had, what Daniel had, draw all the beasts away that will come and take the carcass. That is the Lord's blessings in your life. Spiritually, but physically, sleep. When adversary come and fight with you, just snore. Adversary will say, come and fight with me. You sleep and snore. Sorry, I'm singing give thanks to song. When you sing give thanks, when you sing songs to the Lord, the adversary will have snoring sound. Oh, this man is sleeping to my flesh. Sleeping to my evil tricks. He is sleeping. No reaction. Being dead to the old man tricks. Be dead. When you be dead, the Lord has business with you. Daniel, let's speak. Abraham, let's speak. Today I'm going to show you examples. Not examples. Mark of Christ. Scars of Christ throughout scripture. How the servants of God responded to things that are not good for their awakening. Sleep. Now, let's turn our scripture to go and search this man called Jacob. He's a good man to sleep. But whenever he sleeps, he always get up with blessings. I'm very envy of him. He didn't strive like Abraham, you see. Not like Isaac. What he did merely was just work 20 years with Laban, but supposed to be 14 years, 7 for Rachel, 7 for Leah. But it was flipped around, 7 for Leah, 7 for Rachel. Then 6 more years he was keeping the flock. But he was sleeping during this time. Whenever he slept, God gave him mighty dreams. Oh, ladder to heaven. Jacob woke up, hey, what happened to me? Now I'm going to show you some example. How can you gain something when you are absolutely unconscious? When you sleep, you're unconscious, right? All of us are unconscious. But imagine I commit something evil against my brother. I go to sleep. The Lord comes and visits me in my dream and vision and teach me a sermon. I woke up with repentance. But I was sleeping. I was sleeping. I woke up. Something happened to me and I go and do what is right. And what is this sleep? Deep, divine sleep where your flesh was at absolute death, but your spirit was dancing with the Lord. Now turn your Bible to Jacob 28. Jacob 28. Please keep the two images ready. Yeah, Jacob. That is Genesis 28. Let's read what happened to Jacob. Genesis 28 verse. I won't read all the verses, but I want to show you the pattern. Verse 10. Jacob went out of Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he was on a journey according to the Google map direction set by God. Only then you will have experience of God. Do you hear me? Apostle Paul was supposed to go to Jerusalem and Apostle says, don't go, man. But Apostle Paul says, sorry, I'm on an auto journey. I can't move. He could not be persuaded. And because of that, everybody went to Jerusalem. Because of unwavering steadfastness of Apostle Paul. Now Jacob is on a steadfast journey to Haran. Look at verse 11. When he lighted upon a certain place, there was a place to rest. And he understood he is going to rest there. Tarried there all night. That is, he is going to sleep there because the sun was set. Abraham, same thing happened. The sun was about to set. And a great horror of darkness fell upon Abraham. He took the stones of the place and put them for his pillows and laid down in that place to sleep. Now, son of David, Jesus Christ says, there was not a place for son of man to lay his head and sleep. Did he say that? Because he is the one upon whom you rest. God that keepeth Israel neither sleep nor slumber. He is your rest. You are not his rest. It's a big difference. Amen. Jacob needs rest. So he put all the stones and rest there. Whenever you are weary, I am weary. I will go and find the chief cornerstone who will give me the lively stones. Word of encouragement from the scripture. I will sing a song from book of Psalm. You read something that is you finding the stones and rest in God's presence in peace. But that stone should be the same smooth stones that David found, which is what was spoken by God. Amen. Stones always represent the lively stones of Christ. But there are also stones that are deadly stones. That is Lucifer. How deceived Eve. Those are also stones. He said the same thing God said with death into it. And Eve fell straight into it. It became stones of death. Am I right? Now, Jacob is sleeping on stones because he gathered. Verse 12, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and top of it reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Now, what is the purpose of showing this to Jacob, who is literally roaming here and there? He was a man of journey, isn't it? You can even call him that, a man of deception or failure. His life was not something super heroic. He deceived his brother to get the birthright. He fell to the trap of Laban to get the first daughter, then the second daughter. He was keep on failing. And the Lord says, I will name my nation upon your name, Israel. What? I thought I'm a failure. Surprise. Without Jacob, there is no Joseph. Without Jacob, there is no 12 tribes of Israel. Now, Jacob had a dream. I want to look at the last verse, which is verse 17. And he was afraid. Verse 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. I knew it not. What Job said, I discern not the form of it. I couldn't discern. And Jacob says, I did not know the place where I'm resting is where the Lord is. Because the Lord dealt with him with a spiritual divine experience, and Jacob woke up, he was not the same person who went to sleep last night. He became a different person because when he woke up, he says, surely the Lord is with me. What was the last word spoken by Joseph, the son of Jacob? Surely God will visit you. The same way he visited my father. The same way he visited me. The Lord will visit you. Because Abraham was visited by the visitor called God, he became Abraham. And all of you, the Lord visited you in your life. Some point. Through something. But you had the visitation. Now, he says, verse 17, he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? Come on, Jacob and Abraham. Look at the words they use. Horror, dreadful, and Job, great fear, very positive, motivates your day. Yes, we will have a great horror of darkness day. The Bible says God covered himself with darkness. What is darkness? Light and darkness, same to him. Everything is nothing to him. He is who he is. Now, Jacob says, he was afraid, there is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at first. Who told him to do this? You see, the Lord, when the Lord activates you, you know what to do. Because it was already inside you. You are revealed to the God's purpose that is hidden in you, not in someone's life. You are the treasure of God. Amen? God reveals you to you by revealing himself to you. So Jacob knows what to do automatically, like a child knows how to drink the milk from the mother. Nobody taught the child. It was inside. It was inherent. Inherent quality, as you call it, it's inbuilt. And Jacob stood up. He knew what happened. The same stones he used to rest, and the same stones become the pillar of guidance for him. The word of God is what we all have. But the Lord, always remember this, he magnified the word above his name. So not everyone call on his name, they can't please him. But the ones who live the word, rest in the word, and do what the word commands, guides, they can please him. And that's why people call the name of the Lord in multiple languages. There are 1,000 names to Christ. Can we say, go and fight with everyone? No. Let's fight on the name itself. We will be wasting time. The Lord hath magnified his word above his name. Case closed. Book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 12 says, he had a name written on the crown. No man knew. So what is important to all of us, whatever the Lord has given to us, whatever he revealed to us, let us find contentment and absolute sufficiency and do our best to focus on the essence of life, that is, do the word. which is to keep the wisdom. Amen. Now Jacob had a sleep. Something happened to him. He became a wise man. No sermons, no preaching, no training center, no tuition, no school, no college. He slept, he woke up, things are good. If we fail to rest in the peace of God, we will become weary. Resting in God's presence is absolutely part of our walk with Christ. If not, Jesus Christ himself said, I'm weary. You are no greater than him. He was weary. You and me, nothing. And the Lord says, I need rest. What is rest? Find shelter in the strong tower of his name, which has the banner of his love. Amen. Rest, a deep sleep, absolute contentment that God is with me. I will rest. The enemy wants you to go completely disquietfully unrest. That will be your way of being destroyed. Fall away. You know, fall away. You are walking on a rope. You are tired, then you fall. But if you know how to rest, you won't fall. Now, let us remember this, what happened to Jacob. And let's go to Genesis 2, verse 21. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. Because the very first person to sleep must be the first creation. So, I want to show you the result of deep sleep. So, chapter 2, verse 21 says, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. So there was a surgery happened. But I don't want to focus on the output of it. But remember this word. Result of deep sleep. So we continue from last Sunday's sermon. Now this result has so many things to explore. One, what is the fruit of it? What is the yield of it? And that fruit can be holy or can be unholy, correct? And that yield can be a profit or it can be a loss, correct? Now, fruit yield. Now, let us remember this. When Adam slept, the serpent could not do anything to Adam because he was sleeping, but in the presence of God. So God was doing something to him spiritually. What is the result of Adam's sleep? Eve was created. Am I right? Now what is the result of the second Adam, the last Adam who also went to sleep, which is crucifixion, death? The Eve, you and me, have received the door of salvation for one last time. Not the one first time, one last time. It is also the first time the salvation is open. It is also the last time the salvation is open because he is the first and he is the last. Amen. Now Eve has to run toward the door and enter into his presence before the door is shut. Because the Lord says, repent and return unto me before I shut the door. He said this. Now let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm going to show you series of examples of the Lord's blessings in our lives. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 3. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Now let's imagine there was a king and comes. There was no king. Because Samuel was the one who anointed the first king. So when this happened, there was no king. There was only one king, the King of Kings. If the king was there, the Lord himself, if he comes and inquires Samuel, how dare you? The lamp of God in the temple of the Lord was put off. No, the light is gone. The light went out. And you are sleeping? No. There would not be no such question to Samuel because the Lord wanted him to sleep so that Eli will be caught alone. Who was responsible for the lamp? Samuel or Eli? Eli. Now, how you will bring this to our life? The Lord says, take up thy cross, okay, Deny thyself, Lord. I'm busy in correcting others. Deny thyself, Lord. I'm busy in saving the world. Deny thyself, Lord. I'm busy in preserving the lamp of many people. Deny thyself. Take care of the lamp in your body first. Before you think about what happens outside. If at all the Lord called you to be in that position. Samuel was sleeping. That was the best insurance that he can purchase. Am I right? How dare you, Samuel? You are awake and the lamp is gone. Lord, I was sleeping. Okay, sorry, you are exempted. Where is Eli? Oh, sleep become insurance? It is. Sometimes you take a bus to go to a place. Let's say you slept. You missed the stop. You woke up. No, man. Oh, this sleep. But you alight in some other place. Maybe you will meet your soulmate. It happened to some. Took the wrong bus. Met a wrong person. Became the soulmate of your life. So can you say the sleep is the worst sleep? No, you will celebrate the sleep. What a wonderful sleep. Was sleep of my life. Correct? The Lord decides what is wrong turn. I might be super awake, super perfect, super punctual. My life is boring. I might be imperfect, sleeping here and there. But the Lord may make the life like a rainbow, colorful, because you are falling into the hands of the Lord. Let the Lord decide what is divine and what is not. Now, because of Samuel slept, God cannot judge him. Oh, brother, can you go a bit deeper? Let's go. Isaiah 57. Let's go and apply this to some people I know. I won't mention the name, but the Lord will mention to you. Isaiah 57. There are many people whom you loved. The Lord took it, right? So you go and find comfort, find the stone, and now sleep in that stone. Isaiah 57. That is why it's called the God of all comfort. Isaiah 57, verse 1, I believe. Yes, verse 1. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Oh. So they escape with a sleep. They purchase the insurance. That's why Apostle Paul says, to live is Christ, to suffer for all of you, to die is gain, to get the insurance to go escape. Lifetime insurance. Death is one door, open this side and go to other side. That's it. And God says, I'm taking my righteous people. Merciful men are taken away. Which means the prideful, boasting, arrogant men are left behind. Am I right? That's what the Lord does. You know why? They only get one chance to live on the earth. Let them live. You and me, we have one last chance. The chance of forever eternity. Let's suffer and die. It's okay. Have you seen those who are completely evil? They'll be fully healthy, fully preserved. They will live their life completely. But the sight of the Lord is not even a second. It's not even a second, I'm telling you. Whatever the life they live. But the sight of the Lord, the small, short-lived life of Stephen will look eternal to him. Wow, you made me happy, my son. The Lord says, I am taking my seeds one by one. Are you going to stop me? No one can stop him. You know how the world measures God's calling nowadays? If Stephen was alive today, people would give him a name, falsely called. Why? Peter anointed him, wrong Peter, wrong apostle. Few days, Stephen stoned to death. What a joke. God's ministry should be consistent. Should live forever and ever. Which Bible you are reading? Jesus, 3 years ministry done. How old was he? Do you know why they were hating him? The entire gang of Jesus, I call them as gang because they are gangsters. They show love, mercy. They shoot people in mercy. They hug people with a bomb of salvation. They were all married in 30. Am I right? Because Jesus was the elder brother to all of us. And he himself was 30 when he began the ministry. When he died, he was 33. It seems I'm 4 years older than him. Maybe I'm older than him. No one is older than him. He, before Abraham was I, he said, he has no age. But in terms of grace, Peter, James, John, Paul, every one of them, they had this The Bible scripture, remember thy creator in thy youth. Am I right? How old was Paul and Peter when they were confronting? Think about their life. We read scripture, but we forgot who they were in the time. And it happened to Daniel, it happened to Jeremiah, it happened to everyone. David, Isaiah, you can name it, everyone. It happened in the same pattern. Why? Because the Lord wanted to establish the doctrine of marriage of a lamb, the bride must be young. Why, brother? Why? Now we are going to into scripture. The reason why Abraham became Abraham, Abraham became a father was so big news because he was not a young man. Death entered in Garden of Eden. Am I right? Now, if you look at a new child, you can see the skin is so chubby. You will see fold, you know, like a paper fold. When the child is, you know, born, the skin is so soft. But you won't call it as wrinkles. Am I right? It's beautiful skin. Spotless. Wow. But when we grow older, the skin become filled with wrinkles. That is to show that we are aging. This body is dying. But in spirit, you are young forever. Amen? The love that you have for the Lord is not going to change. Because you are a spiritual bride, not the fleshly bride. So what is the difference between the child and an elderly grown-up vessel? Wrinkles. Aging. Correct? Aging. Now let's remember this. Before we continue, I want to show you the two pictures so that we see the image and understand what it does to our mind. Please go to the first image, share the screen, and let's look into this. If I say wisdom, which hand you will hold? The one with wrinkles. Am I right? If I say purity, you would hold the hand of a child. Innocent child. Holy child. Knowledge, the one who is aging. So the more grace God allows in your life, we are spiritually receiving knowledge, understanding, wisdom. Not the skin wrinkles I'm referring to. I'm talking about spiritually. But both these two hands go in hand. Because we are a child of God. At the same time, He is pouring out His revelation, understanding, knowledge. But yet, you are a child. If I choose to be only one, I would lose the other side. Am I right? It goes hand in hand. In spirit, I am grown up. But in flesh, I am a child. So the difference between these two hands is, you could see a fold, you know, in the hand of a child. But you could see wrinkles in the hand of an elderly person. That shows that we are aging. We are all dying. Even the child is dying. It just, you know, the train stop is a bit far away. Now look at the next one. If I bring it to a garment, imagine a white curtain that has multiple folds. For example, we have curtains here. Would you call this as wrinkles? No. It's a fold, a beautiful way of, you know, curtains are organized. But on the bottom left, you would call this as wrinkles because completely uneven. Someone squeezed it. Not well ironed or something. Like David was looking for a smooth stone, that is smooth fold, not the rough or like a thistles and thorns kind of a stone that is completely wrinkled. Wrinkles and fold or wrinkle or the smoothness, you know, of our life. Because the skin represents that something that covers our life, right? If my knowledge, my wisdom, my discernment, my interpretation, my wisdom, discernment, everything, if it is wrinkled, my thought will be crooked. Am I right? Now let's stop this. Now let's go to Job chapter 16, verse 28, I think. Job chapter 16. Let's go to Job chapter 16. Job chapter 16, verse 8. Verse 7 to verse 8. It is very beautiful what we read here. But now he hath made me weary. Thou hast made desolate all my company. He removed all the fellowship around me. All my company. And thou hast filled me with wrinkles, which is a witness against me, and my leanness rising up in me beareth witness to my face. So when I see myself in the mirror, I know I'm aging. But I thank the Lord for His grace in my life. It's a witness against me. I was born in sin. And the Lord is giving me a chance, an opportunity to receive that glorious body. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 27. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 27. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 27. That He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Now, do you understand why Job said that? Because Job is not a simple man to speak simple things. And God kept his life as a type and shadow for all of us to learn. Because when a child of God is born as a new man, there are no wrinkles. But if I want to grow in knowledge, grow in this and that, I may have wrinkles on me. But Apostle Paul says, present yourself without wrinkle, which is be the child of God that you are. Because the bride is in the balance of being a child and a grown-up. The bride is at the center. So what is young? I'm not a child. I'm not elderly. I'm at the center, which is I have the balance of God's wisdom, knowledge, revelation, scripture. But I also have the calling of remaining as God's child. And that balance will keep you as a young, beautiful bride ready for marriage. Amen. Now keep the word wrinkle in your mind. Now let's turn our scriptures to the main part, which also comes at end. It's okay. 2 Samuel chapter 19. 2 Samuel chapter 19. I was so blessed when I came across this chapter again by the grace of God. 2 Samuel chapter 19. Now let us read something that is deeply reflecting what we made it now. So I will just erase this part. I will write here because this is something we have to remember. Can someone please read chapter 19 from verse 31 to 40? God bless you, brother. 2 Samuel 19, verse 31 to 40.
And Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, come down over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live, that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king. And why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city, and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. And behold, thy servant Kimham, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what he shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered, Kimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over Jordan. And when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him. And he returned unto his own place. Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Kimham went on with him, and all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel.
Amen. Verse 39. And all the people went over Jordan, and when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned unto his own place. There are two names you read in this beautiful incident, Barzillai and Kimham. Or in the New King James Version, you would see it as Kimham. The Hebrew has two different pronunciations, Kimham or Kimham. But let us keep it as Kimham as we read in the King James. Now, Barzillai says, I'm a old man with wrinkles. I have lived my life. And David says, I want to give this gift to you. And Barzillai says, please give in to this young man. Let him live, let him rejoice, and let him continue the journey. So Barzillai received the inheritance, the blessing, the reward, and passed it to Kimham. Now look at the meaning of Barzillai. It means iron of Yah, that shows strength. Same as Aaron, it means mountain of strength. Amen? When Aaron died, the garment of Aaron that represents the Lord's good deeds in his life was passed to the child. Now here, iron of Yah or iron-like or man of iron is the meaning of Barzillai, which means he was standing firm for God's work in his life, and he was aging gracefully, and he has seen through God's grace and mercy in his life, and he was 80, very similar to Moses, because Moses was exactly 80 years old when God called him to serve. Amen? He was absolutely 80, same as Barzillai. But here the difference is, how come Barzillai had the discernment to deny David's request? If David is a king, Barzillai must submit. Amen? Am I right? Barzillai says, thank you for the love. It's going to benefit me. But I'm passing the benefit to this young vessel who will carry the Lord's promise in his life. That is Kimham. What is the meaning of Kimham? It means earning, finding, great desire that is keep on burning in his heart. That is the reason he was there. What if he was asleep somewhere? At the time of blessing, what if Elisha was fighting with the prophets of Jericho and the prophets of Bethel? Because they deceived him, right? He's going to die, man. Come and argue with us. Time, deep sleep to everything else, and glorious awakening to the deep things of God. Now, Kimham received what was supposed to be given to Barzillai. Now, remember what happened to all of us on Calvary. He received that judgment, what was supposed to be originally belongs to you. But in return, he gave something else to you, to open the doors of eternal life for you. And you are young, the young bride. Amen? Now, do we have the earning, pining, great desire to be able to receive such a promise? Because David represents Son of David, Jesus Christ. Now, let me show you two more examples. This happened in 2 Samuel chapter 19. Now, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 15. Because in chapter 19, David is in a good state. He's in a good state of restoration. He's in a good state. He's happy. And that gives Barzillai the discernment, my king is happy. He don't need me anymore. He's not in, you know, big valley. He's not in some trouble. He received the blessing, pass it to someone who will live. Because Barzillai says, I'm going to sleep. Now David is listening to all of this, but David knows, because David has been through experiences to understand what Barzillai is doing. Because David did the same to Solomon. David tells God, Lord, the work is extensively great. And he's a child. So I will do everything I can in my power to prepare all the groundworks for the child to come and finish it. He said that, right? He said that. David said that concerning Solomon. Where he learned from? Now let's continue this incident in chapter 15, verse 19. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, "Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger, also an exile." Now David is telling the exact opposite, correct? He tells Barzillai, "You also come with us." And he tells Ittai, "You don't come with us." Why? David is a beloved. He means good for his loved ones. If Barzillai comes with David, he will live a good life on the other side of Jordan. But if Ittai comes with David, he may be killed because David is under attack. So David says, "Let me die and let you live." A true servanthood. That is why David is a beautiful king. But Ittai says, "No. Hey, don't disobey king." No, he is not disobeying king. Ittai is obeying the King of Kings, who is above David, to live and die for David. So Ittai says, verse 20, "Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren, mercy and truth be with thee." David says, "Please run and survive." And Ittai answered the king, "As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even that also will thy servant be." Attitude of apostles. Whether I live or die, I am the Lord's. To live is Christ and to die is gain. Neither death nor life can separate me from the love of God. So David, beloved, types the son of David, Ittai, who is the bride that we all should be, Gentiles. Ittai says, "I will stand with thee wherever you go." So David was not lying, because David cannot lie. He really meant what he said. But Ittai said, "I will die with you." Elijah was not lying when he told Elisha, "Why are you following me? Go back." He was not lying because he's a prophet. He was in a desperate, frustrated state of his life. He had all the reason to be angry. He was telling Elisha, "Why are you following me? Just go, man." But Elisha was not disobeying. Elisha was obeying above. Simham, Barzillai. Elisha, Elijah. Solomon, David. Joshua, Moses, Jesus Christ, you and me. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Now, when Ittai said this, David said to Ittai, "Go and pass over." And Ittai, Gittite, passed over with all his men and all the little ones that were with him. He went as a family. "As for me and my family, we shall serve the Lord." That's what apostles said. Ittai did the same. But he is called the servant. It is sufficient, right? Because Moses also called the servant. But in today's world, it is not sufficient. Verse 23. "And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron. And all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness." The ministry of Jesus Christ. When he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he had to go through the same Kidron Valley. Same. So what is the meaning of Ittai? Yahweh is my company. Nearness of Yah, which is companionable. The Lord is trustworthy of your company. Now tell me how God was encouraging David through Ittai. How God was encouraging David through Barzillai. And how Chimam received the promise through Barzillai, but from God. Because he has to stay earning, pining with a great desire. Now, let's remember these three names. What happened to Abigail? She should be in 1 Samuel. Let's go to 1 Samuel. Chapter 25, verse 32. You see a different advice given to David from Abigail. But she is not a grandma. She is not an elderly woman. She says to David, "My king, do not make your hands dirty." That's what he said. And David responds, verse 32, 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 32. "And David said to Abigail, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me.'" And he says, "Blessed be thy advice." The accurate translation is, Blessed be thy discernment. That is what written in the scriptures. Blessed be thy discernment, because advice is a fruit of discernment. And discernment is a leading of God Almighty. And Abigail received it, not David. Surprise. Because Abigail is going to be the wife of David soon. Now, David says, if you did not intervene, I would have killed Nabal myself, and my hands would have become dirty and ugly, or no, bloody. Then God cannot work in David's hand. And David says, blessed be thou which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. What a moment of meeting between David and Abigail. David says, I was one step closer to slaughter and you saved me with your discernment. And who is the discernment? Abigail? No. The Lord who was leading, resting. And he says, for in very deed as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, because two shall be one flesh. If David kills Nabal, he is the reason Abigail became a widow. Am I right? How can David marry Abigail after Nabal is killed by being the murderer of her husband? That's what he did to Bathsheba, right? Now he says, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light that pisseth against the wall. So David received of her hand and which he had brought him, and said unto her, go up in peace into thine house. I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. Because he came in person. He came and met me in person. I have accepted your request. Now three characters. Barzillai, Ittai, Abigail. Three distinct examples. David, centerpiece of everything that arounds. One, David was about to kill someone. Abigail stopped. Two, David is going through a valley. Tried to stop Ittai from being hurt. Ittai said, no, I will suffer with you. Three, David is going to rejoice because everything is done all good. 2 Samuel chapter 19. And David says, come Barzillai, come and be happy with us. And Barzillai says, it's a good reward. But let me sleep with my fathers. And he give it to Chimham. Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 16. Moses. Remember the scripture, Isaiah 57, 1 to 3, what it says? The Lord taketh the righteous, merciful men are taken away, but no one is considering. And he's taking them away from the evil to come. Amen. 31 verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. Good night, Lord. I will just go and sleep and come back. And the Lord says, you will sleep. That's all, man. Don't come back. He says, go and die. But the Lord says, go and sleep. Even for David, the Bible says, David went to sleep with his fathers. That shows from where he came. Same way all of us, we sleep in Christ, who is the creator of all. Only one creator, origin. We sleep in Christ. Those who sleep in Christ will wake up in Christ, arise in Christ. Now, God says, after you sleep, these people will rise up. So they were also sleeping when Moses was walking. So they were sleeping to the rebellion. They were sleeping to the whoring. They were sleeping to disobedience. They were sleeping to sin, idol worship. They were sleeping to all the Babylonian things. And God says, Moses, when you go to sleep, you will not rise up. They will rise up. The whole man, the whole woman of all the people will rise up and dance. And how the Lord calls it? A whoring. What he says? These people rise up and go a whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and may break my covenant which I have made with them. Now you read book of Isaiah 57:1-3. What it says? The Lord taketh the righteous, the merciful men are taken away, Nobody cares. They show sympathy. Oh, good man died. Rest in peace. I pray for you. I cry for you. 3 days I mourn for you. Then I go for my full meals. The Lord says, weep, don't weep for him. Weep for you. Those who are alive, we are the people at disadvantage. Because you have to be in the battle. But it's a beautiful advantage because God trusts you. He has a purpose in you. Remember this, your mind, your life, your body, your soul, your spirit, it doesn't belong to you. Never ever try to hurt in the name of guilty consciousness, guilty repentance. Don't be the God of your life. The blood on Calvary, it is not small to your guilt. Don't make Calvary as a small event by telling yourself, I'm guilty, I'm suffering. You know, the Bible calls this as loathing. L-O-A-T-H-I-N-G. If I'm not wrong. Loathing, self-loathing. Hurting yourself, harming yourself in mind, in spirit, soul, saying that God told me to suffer. Which God? The joy of the Lord is my strength. That is my God. Today is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad. That is my God. Which God wants you to suffer? Repentance is not suffering. Repentance is realizing. But harming is against God. It is rebellion. My heart goes out by seeing what happens today to the young ones, even the elderly ones, adult, whatever in the world. Everyone has become walking mirror, waiting for a tiny stone to hit and they will fall and collapse. Why? The strength of God has been taken away from them. Barzillai, iron of Yah, not the mirror of Yah. He was not a glass to be broken. He was holding on to God's strength. My God, my Father, the one who watch over me, he loves me, and I am not a beggar on the street. You are a king. You are royalty to God. We have the heavenly riches of God. Amen. The whole world is killing one another and they are boasting. You see, if one innocent defends oneself, kill one, they put him into jail and they kill him. But the big leaders of the world, they can come to the public media and say, I will kill him, I will destroy him. I have a list. Which leader are you? Stephen says, Lord, forgive them. Jesus says, Lord, forgive them. But today the world, I'm a judge. Harming yourself, harming someone is from devil, not from God. Because the God whom we serve is in grace. Which is grace? You love, you don't become the criminal. You can become a victim. It's okay. I don't want to be the one who was ran over, who ran over a vessel. But I can be the vessel who was ran over by. Am I right? Why? My name glorifies the Lord's name because I have no name. The name of the Lord is written on your foreheads. Amen? We have to be very wise. Are we misplacing the joy of the Lord, our confidence in the Lord, with a self-proclaimed, self-loathing state of a matter of Christ? Do not think of yourself highly than who you are. Remember this. Everyone compared themselves with Isaiah, Daniel, Moses. Hello? The names written in the scripture, God trusted them beyond time. So he allowed their name to be written here. And the Bible was compiled in 400 AD. Don't try to forge your way in. You are who you are. I am who you are. I am who I am. Know their place. Daniel knew his place. Now, what we read in Deuteronomy is a mercy that God showed to Moses. Moses, if you get angry for this, strike the rock twice. If I show you what they will become in the future, you will kill them by yourself. You'll become a murderer. And the Bible says, merciful men are taken away from the evil to come. Because Moses, as humble he was, inside of him, there was a old man who was a murderer. He killed the Egyptian first. Against God's will. And God allowed him to pay the price. 40 years he was in the wilderness. It was not God's way of preparing. He paid the price. Let's be honest about it. You all pay the price. There is no way of sugarcoating around. But you can say everything worked together for good. Also, never abuse the word everything worked together for good. You know, all the mistakes of my pride last week worked together for good. Next week, I still have some quota left. What quota? The words of the Lord, if we abuse it, it will demolish you. Remember this. That is why I have been telling last 3 years, never use scripture to justify your life. Never. Let the Lord judge you every day. Be happy. Be content. If I use my scripture, it says, yes, I'm right. You are one step closer to fall. There is no servant of God use scripture to justify one. None. Now, as we close, let's read a few verses. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1. Do not be distracted by what is happening around the world. Keep your focus on your perfection and redemption. Amen? But be watchful. But do not be judging. Amen? Because whatever you see now, it is none of God's divine work. It is all of men's work will fail miserably. Everyone is going to fall. But you and me, keep your eyes on the scripture. Focus on harvest of the Lord, witnessing to souls, focusing on your personal perfection. Amen. The Lord is coming. We have no time. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. As a man that is wakened out of his sleep. Angel came to me again and I was sleeping. And the angel said, good morning, get up. Wake up. As a man waketh out of his sleep, I woke up. Now, this is a vision of the high priest. Now, let's remember this verse because I want to show you the spiritual journey of your life. Remember this. Go to Acts. Book of Acts, chapter 12. Book of Acts, chapter 12. Verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The apostle himself was constrained within the bars, and there were non-stop prayers going for him. Verse 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, like two witnesses, witnessing his snoring, sleeping. Peter is sleeping, very tired. Because he was not scared of prison. He was not scared of death. That is the old Peter. Now he's a different Peter. But he was sleeping. He was resting. Bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now verse 7 says, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Why? The chains fell off from his hands. Job says, I was asleep, a spirit passed by, the flesh in my body stood up. And Peter was sleeping, whatever the band was put on his hand, it was not released by Peter. Do you hear me? It was not to be broken by Peter. He slept. In that rest, the angel came after the rest is completed. He told him, arise. He smote and asked him to arise. When he arise, the bands fell, loosened by itself. But after that, Peter was given a divine encounter. Same as Abraham, same as Jacob, same as Daniel, same as Adam, same as every servant of God. But now remember this. Let's go to the next example. That is Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 verse 6. Acts chapter 16 verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. You see a difference between this event And the previous event, there also Peter was there. Now here Paul and Silas were there. And there also bands were loosened, but when Peter stood up after the angel told him to arise. But here Paul and Silas are not sleeping. They are awake. Am I right? When the prayers were submitted to the Lord for them, the bands fell off. Earthquake was there. But look at the next verse. And the keeper of the prison was awaking out of his sleep. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The one who was sleeping here was not the one who was inside, but the one who was outside. In previous case, Peter was sleeping inside. There were two soldiers witnessing him. They were not sleeping. But in this case, soldier is sleeping, the prisoner is awake. And when the prisoner awake from his sleep, something happened to him. A great horror of darkness came upon him, that is fear of death. A dreadful day came upon him, that is fear of death, because he thought Paul and Silas, they had a prison break. Two heroes escaped the prison. Then when he felt this, he says, he drew out his sword, very same as Peter, who is always quick to jump the gun, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Presumption. He was one step closer to a most useless, fruitless, meaningless suicide ever recorded. Am I right? Imagine he killed himself and his family comes and they say, oh, you're the head of the house. He thought Paul and Silas left the prison. Okay. He killed himself. Okay. They are still inside the prison. Come on. What a waste. Isn't it? This is called misunderstanding. It can happen to you every single day. And you will die spiritually every single day. Without the glory of God, you may pass a day. The Lord has shown mercy that you will see another day. That prison keeper misunderstood that these two left. He took the sword about to kill him, but what if Apostle Paul was sleeping? Look at the next verse. Verse 28. And Paul cried out with a loud voice. Hey, how did you see this man? You are inside the prison. Can he see through the wall? Because if the prisoner cannot see Paul, then Paul also cannot see the prisoner. Am I right? Am I making sense? Because the prisoner was sitting outside the prison. He was very fast to, judge himself to death. Same as Saul. Remember, Saul used his sword, fell to his own sword, correct? But this time, the other Saul, Apostle Paul, is not letting this happen. Which means there was a yearning, a pining, great desire in Apostle Paul for the salvation of the prison keeper. That is why he became a trap of the prison. He knows the assignment. He was waiting for salvation of that man. That's why he allowed them to arrest him. He was sitting comfortably. And Apostle Paul says he was waiting for the moment of that stupidity so that repentance can come forth. And Paul says, don't you do it. It is better you slept for some more time. Am I right? Imagine the prisoner slept for 30 more minutes and all the other guards came. They saw Paul and Silas were inside and they go and tell the prison keeper. Thankfully, these prisoners are so dumb. They don't even know how to escape. The doors are open. But that, if that happened, that prison keeper would not be saved. Correct? The deep sleep of Peter was not wrong. But the dead sleep of Paul could have become wrong. Am I right? Do you see the two examples here? Paul was awake, the prison keeper preserved. And Peter was slept, and the Lord counted for good rest. Come, wake up. He said this several times. We will continue next Sunday. Before I close, one last verse. Let's all stand up. Book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 9. Let us remember Barzillai and Chimham. And let us ask ourselves, am I living a life like Chimham? Do you know, I encourage you to read this. Jeremiah chapter 41 verse 17 says, there was a place named after Chimham. And that place was in between Egypt and the Jerusalem. People had to stay there before they go to their own land. And that place is called Chimham. Because David honored Chimham, and it is believed to be so that he had a land on his own name. Chimham. Jeremiah 41:17, I believe. Now let us read book of Acts chapter 20 verse 9. Let us all read this and reflect this in our life. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Tychicus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep, and he fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him and said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. And when he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread, and eaten, and talked with a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Remember this. That young man can be you and me, the young bride. And that window is our leg, one leg in, one leg out. And that Apostle Paul is the apostolic faith that is preaching to all of us. The today's world has become more and more dull of hearing. Do you see? They want to entertain people, to show something, to make them more interesting, excited. The message of God is not interesting. It is interceding. Amen? It prunes us. It makes us to grow. And the Bible says, if the bride of Christ becomes more of dull of hearing, you will fall asleep, also called deep sleep, but it's called dead sleep. And that window is your way of escaping from the will of God. One step closer. You know, he fell to sleep, not because of his tiredness, because of his dull of hearing to the word of God. He fell to death from third story. 1, 2, 3. How many times did he die in Christ? 1 or 3? 3 times. He fell to his death, but Apostle Paul preserved his life. Remember this. Barzillai wants to give the strength to the one who is earning. The bride of Christ must receive the strength of Christ. Because the strength of Christ is from the Father in heaven. Amen? He is your strength. May the Lord bless us. The state of your consciousness, that is the title of today's sermon. The consciousness of your life, the state, not yesterday, state today. Consciousness. You should sleep to noises, to gossips, to rumors, to anything that is not profitable to your growth. And you should stay awake to anything that is profitable to your growth. Amen. May the Lord guide us. Let me close with a prayer. Our Lord, our God, the iron of our life, the strength of our life, the companion of our life, who stand with us in valley, in mountain, in life and death, the light that shineth brightly in the shadow of death, the Lord who discovered the secrets of the deep, for deep calleth to the deep. And Lord, we pray, may we all have this deep sleep in the deep things of God that glorifies your name, that is beautiful in thy sight, that we must rest in thy presence, O God. When we rest in spirit, when we rest in your presence, we will have the eyes of the spirit that is earning, that is pining, that is having the longingness, the great desire, O Lord, to enter into the blessed rest. Lord, we pray, may you guide us the way you guided Daniel, to live our life as a young bride of Christ in this kingdom of Babylon, of the earthly madness, wickedness, principalities all around us. There are so many Babylonian kings all around us. And Lord, we pray, may you bless us that we be like serpents who are wise, and we be like harmless as doves, wise as serpents. Help us, Lord, that we pass through and complete the race according to your will and pleasure. In Jesus Christ's name, we bless one another. In Jesus Christ's name, may you, Lord, bless us that we stand with one another like Ittai. And we serve one another like Barzillai. And we, Lord, have the discernment like Daniel to glorify all to the Holy One, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of our Lord and Savior, we all submit and surrender to one another. May you bless the fellowship. May you bless the congregation. In Jesus Christ's name, we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.